Roman Owen, chapter 6, chapter 5, pardon me, The Science of the Entity. Beyond the 12 colloquial expressions of the laws of reality, there are several more that have not yet been cast in stone, or clay that is, and can undergo some changes as I see fit. As mentioned, the website that they are on is called Figmentalism, and is part of the Namron Sor websites that host INTS. The laws themselves are created in drafts, of which those of reality have six drafts, while they underwent development, and all the various versions are kept for the sake of posterity on the website. There are three drafts for the Entitic Science, and presently 11 laws, and they may be added to or changed if necessary. The first one is also the first law of the laws of reality, but is necessarily because this began as law one, and it became apparent that many other things could be said of the entity that were true, but needed a specific area for this. All beings, creatures, and things are part of a single entity. I could have used a different word other than the space age entity, but just couldn't find one I liked, so it stands. Also, I could have said creatures and things and left out beings, since we are creatures, but again, I prefer the poetic content of this phrasing. Below is ES law, as found on the website, and in no particular order, with explanations following. Now, I'll read all of the laws, and then I'll have to read them again with the explanations, because it works best that way. This is called Entitic Science. This may be another word that we created. This is the third draft from January 20th, 2007. All beings, creatures, and things are part of a single entity. The entity has neither motion nor location. The entity has no size. The entity is the sphere in which we exist. The entity is divided among all and all things. The entity does not know how or why it became. The entity appreciates gender. Gender is neither but both. The entity appreciates deity but claims none. Two separate entities cannot exist and have knowledge of each other, yet two exist within the entity as polar reaches of all consideration. We are the result of the entity's desire for companionship. The entity has no single beginning, yet re-begins periodically. Now, I have two things here on January the 9th that I propose to add, which that's the way this works. These change over time. January 26, 2009, proposed edition, the entity does not consciously control its existence or happenstance. And again, 2009, January 26th, the entity carries an element of volition. The entity has neither motion nor location, is the second law. It means that all motion of the entity is apparent, as is the location, as any location must be relative or cannot be recognized. We have nothing to locate ourselves, since we are within a globe and with no outside that we can be aware of, therefore nothing but relative internal location or imagined location, and we have no location we can, and with no location we cannot have motion, vector, or velocity. The entity has no size. Again, relativity, or the lack thereof, dictates that we could be as minuscule as any imagination could conceive us, or even smaller, or as large as all reality, but we have no size and no way of guessing the same. We don't exist on a material level, so I suppose we don't need material level size. We imagine that we are the size of the visible universe, which is pretty darn large, but that means absolutely nothing. We have no size, and must be that way. The entity is a sphere in which we exist. More redundancy considering the laws of reality number 4. Reality is a globe, where within, not upon. But I want the entity science laws to be as complete as possible, so I included it here. The statement is slightly unique in that it outlines what our complete thought is, as opposed to just ourselves individually. I could add including its contents, but that's a given anyway. Also unique in that we are the entity, and thus everything we perceive, and thus we are everything we perceive. Similar to Atman being Brahman in Hindu philosophy. That's in the following chapters. The entity is divided among all and all things. Again, this could be another way of saying the first law of laws, but it presses home the idea that we are the product of an unconscious effort on the part of the entire entity to divide itself into a multitude of forms and creatures and animals for the sake of interest and companionship. It is designed to remind us that the entity is not concentrated in some rarefied form in humans or the elusive brain or brain power, but is and of everything. The entity does not know how or why it became. This is new, and no redundancy here. The entity does not even know if it is a result of a beginning or if it will end, but those things are theoretical and need not be mentioned. The entity did not unknowingly take part in its own creation. It just noticed it existed. This one may get altered, but I really like the way it sounds, so I may make an additional ES law to cover the creation aspect. Actually, I'm tempted to add, nor if it became, but that contains a huge semantic problem. The entity appreciates gender is neither, but both. In this so-called male-dominated world, there is a conspiracy of males that are very insecure about themselves. Again, appreciates means creates, and actually all men or women are both genders. They just play the part of their genital origin. We have failed bitterly to allow women their rightful place, and the entity knows this and will change it soon. The entity has just now become self-aware within the last few years, allowing me to communicate these revelations, if I may use the word. You will see many things change, and world peace will come upon us. The woman will rise to take her rightful place, and the dollar will fall, as will the sword. This is just Namron Sora being a bit hopeful, poetic, and predictive. Our blessing as humans is altruism, and our failing is greed. The entity appreciates deity but claims none. Realizing recently that the entity is one in the earth and that all is its own imaginings, make it the real God figure. But it shuns this deity and wants only the simplest of virtue, that of a real human, of the humblest of all. Its only desire is for others to share this reality with. Friendship is the only thing the entity values. Again, the word appreciates means creates. Also, this seems to ignore the baser nature of humanity and the axiom that power corrupts. But solipsism prevents the entity or any representative that can speak for the entity, namely myself or anyone else that understands these principles, from knowing if there could really be worshippers, and this in itself is a humbling experience. You can look at the following chapters for the explanation of solipsism. There is a realization here that is very difficult to convey and may well be the ending of all wars and conflict, when humanity grasps it. This is similar to Eastern enlightenment, as Hindu Advaita Vedanta. Two separate entities cannot exist and have knowledge of each other, yet two exist within the entity as polar reaches of all consideration. This is getting a bit wordy, but I can't think of another way of expressing the two thoughts, and I prefer to have them within the same law, so it stands as so. We, as the entity, cannot know of another, or we as an individual cannot know of another, and this applies to the entity no matter how divided it is amongst the population of Earth. Short of solipsism on a global level, the yin and yang of all things is in the entity, and it creates all life and destroys all life. It is the God figure and the devil figure. It cannot know of another entity because it is internal within itself and cannot see within any other. It could imagine other entities as it does with the population, but totally cannot see beyond this and can never overcome this shortcoming or limitation. That's the non-theoretical point of view. We are the result of the entity's desire for companionship. This news will soon spread around the world as the entity begins to wrest its fate from the free fall that is now occurring. The entity created us not to war, but to contest amicably and to revel in companionship and in the earth and nature, and now it is opening itself to its own power and a change is nigh. Again, this is just Namron Sar being hopeful. Read Armageddon for an equally negative view. The entity has no single beginning, yet re-begins periodically. This is a reference to the fact that we, as parts of the entity, die off and others of us are born to take their place. The entire world may die off occasionally too, but I don't really know that. There must be an address to death within these laws to the entity, and this is the best I could do on that subject. January 26, 2009, this is in reference to the two proposed editions. The entity does not consciously control its existence or happenstance. This law will probably be added to the ES law because there is a little reference in the present ones to the feeling that life is a bit like being on a runaway train that has no engineer. It will likely be located somewhere in the list other than at the bottom, but this is the method by which these laws have developed. It points out the very important consideration that if the entity were able to have full control of every situation, then there would be no point in life. This also explains how almost everything you do is so frustrating and near impossible, yet easy at the same time. Life would not last very long if your every move was perfect and there was no challenge in anything at all. The other proposed edition of the same date, the entity carries an element of volition. This is slightly counter to the previous, and the two may be combined. It might be pointed out that LSD improves your ability to control reality, but reduces your ability to interact, with others that are not participating in the experiment. Much of what is written within INTS by Namron Sar is of a hopeful nature and always touted as being fact, or as close to fact as possible. My alter ego is a bit of a Pollyanna who hopes his altruism and trust will rub off on the rest of the world. I sincerely hope he's right, but I'm not holding my breath. Namron Sar.